All right. Well, hello. Good morning and welcome to this Awaken experience. We just finished breakfast here at the Stradling household, so you might hear a little bit of commotion in the back. But hey, this is one that you can enjoy from the comfort of your own home, in your pajamas, with your coffee, on your couch, eating your breakfast. And I have here this morning the newest member of our household that I know many of you still haven't met yet. So hopefully one of these weeks we'll get back to some sort of normalcy and you will finally get to meet Kit Stradling. Can you say hi? I guess not. Well, hey, you're probably wondering, what this service is going to look like. Well, this morning is simply a sermon. So I have a few note cards for us to get through this morning. Now, as we begin, a couple of quick announcements. First off, our Thursday community group will not be taking place. Neither will our Friday evening Bible study. Both of those have been canceled. And obviously, as we track what happens and how things progress in the coming days and weeks, we'll fill you in, we'll communicate with you exactly how we are going to proceed with our Sunday services as well as our other midweek groups. Also, our April Stuff a Shirt project has been postponed to a later date. Don't know exactly when yet, but if you have started collecting toiletries or t-shirts, keep those in your home because we will do the project at some point. We just don't have a date for that yet. Now this morning, we're in the middle of a Lenten series. This would be week 3 of our Lent series, a series on the Lord's Prayer. And I had a whole sermon written, a whole sermon ready to go for the next part of the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. But then I woke up Thursday morning and I realized that there's something pretty big happening in our world. There's something pretty big that's happening in our area. And I thought, well, we should talk about that. I thought we should talk about the thing that's in the air. It's physically in the air and on surfaces, but it's in the air emotionally and spiritually, mentally. And by that, I mean the coronavirus, which I'm sure you've all heard about at this point. Yeah, see, the coronavirus is something that's impacting all of our lives. Whatever our individual response to it has been, it's something that's affecting all of us. All of our lives are being disrupted. So Thursday I woke up and I wrote this whole new sermon entitled The Lord's Prayer and the Coronavirus. Now originally I thought that I would be giving this sermon live in person to probably the 5 of you that would show up on this Sunday morning. And then obviously things changed and here we are doing this through video. But I thought we should talk about this because if we don't talk about it, well, there's then this giant elephant in the room where you're all left wondering, why are we talking about this when there's this other really big issue that's on all of our hearts and minds at this point? So this morning, the Lord's Prayer and the Coronavirus. Now, we began this Lord's Prayer series a couple of weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And we started by saying that Jesus begins this prayer with a very simple phrase. It begins, "Our Father," or if you prefer the Greek, "Father of us." Now, what this does, this small little phrase that Jesus teaches us to say, this is how Jesus grounds the prayer. This is how the prayer begins. Before we even begin asking God for anything, before we begin petitioning God for anything, Jesus tells us, be reminded or be aware, acknowledge the fact that you are all interconnected, that you're all deeply, deeply connected with every other person living on this planet. And we're seeing the reality of this right now in our world. So something that began halfway around the world in China is having ripple effects even here in the United States. And there's no one in the world at this point who's immune to this. This is affecting, this is disrupting lives everywhere. It's not just an isolated event in one particular part of the world. It's not isolated to one particular group of people. Rather, this is something that is common to all of us. When Jesus begins this prayer, "Our Father," we are being reminded of the fact that we are all brothers and sisters. We're all living in this interconnected web. And what Jesus is saying is that the thing that we all have in common is our shared humanity. And we have this shared communal life together. We're not simply individuals, we're part of a larger global web. And so we all share some of the same joys, the same hopes, the same desires, the same dreams, the same fears, the same anxieties, and the same germs. Yeah, we're all swimming together in one giant pond. Now, what happens in the world that we inhabit, especially in the 21st century Western world, for us here in America, is we've been taught that we're individuals. So we've been taught to live this individualistic type of life, completely cut off from the fact that we are actually really connected to others, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So often how this plays itself out, what begins to happen is we don't think about how our actions or how something that we're experiencing is impacting others around us. So one of the invitations at the moment, because whenever there's a disruption, there's always an invitation. And the coronavirus clearly is a disruption. So one of the invitations at this moment is to see that we really are connected to each other. It's to see beyond ourselves and to be mindful of the fact that what is impacting us is, well, it's impacting everyone. And again, no one is immune from what is taking place in the world right now. So how do we be mindful of that truth? And how do we learn in this moment, in this particular moment in time, to see beyond ourselves and to care for those around us? Now, what I thought I would do this morning is I would walk you through some stories of things that I've been seeing and what I've been experiencing this week as I've been trying to wrap my head around what exactly is happening in our world. Now, earlier this week, I was having a conversation with someone, and I asked them, well, how are you doing? How are things? And naturally, where do you think the conversation ended up? Yeah, you guessed it, the coronavirus, which I'm sure many of you have had this experience this week, where you start talking and immediately your conversation just goes right to the coronavirus and how it's affecting your life. So we started talking about this, and then he tells me that because of the downward spiral of the economy, because of the market crash, he has lost a giant chunk of his retirement. Now here's someone who has about a year left before he retires, or he was planning to work just about one more year before he retires. His family had made plans, and now all of a sudden he's seeing that those plans, well, they might no longer be a reality for him. He says he's not like he has 10 more years left where he can allow for things to get back up to where they were. And so he was telling me he's not sure exactly what he's going to do. He's not sure how he's going to make it all work. He says, well, of course it's going to work out, but I'm just not sure exactly what that means or how that's going to work. See, for you, the coronavirus might not be really that big of a deal, but for others around us, well, it is having really big impacts. It's causing financial hardship for people. Think about all of those who, all the people who they only get paid when they show up at work. They get paid on an hourly basis. And so if lots of businesses are closing, if lots of different jobs that people are relying on for an income aren't actually happening, well, that means that there's a lot of people right now in our area and in the world who aren't getting the paycheck that they've learned to rely on. I mean, this is a problem. For a lot of people, their businesses, their owners, their bosses are telling them, don't come in because we have no work for you. They don't have the luxury of working from home. They don't have the luxury of getting a paycheck while they're able to do their work in their house. I have a friend who's a contractor, and he told me that his phone this past week has been eerily quiet. There are no calls coming in for work. These are people like you and me who simply want to pay their bills. They want to put food on their table. I was listening to a few radio interviews earlier this week from some business owners in New Rochelle, where this two-week containment zone was being put in place. And the business owners, before this containment zone was put in place, what they were saying on the radio is that their business has decreased by more than 50%. And a lot of these restaurant owners and pizza shop owners, grocery stores, they're saying that if things don't change, if they don't change drastically, they're not sure how they're going to survive. They're not sure if they will ever be able to recover from this. And this was before this containment zone was put in place. New Rochelle is a ghost town at the moment. Now, these aren't people that are living halfway around the world. These are our neighbors, people that live 10, 15 minutes away from us. Many of you drive through New Rochelle on a regular basis. Maybe you even do so on your way to work each morning. Maybe some of you even live in New Rochelle. And what we're hearing is people are saying they're having trouble paying their bills. They're having trouble just putting food on the table. The families who want the same things that you and me want for our families. Yeah, there's people right now in our world who are being deeply affected by the coronavirus, and it's causing all sorts of financial hardship. And then here's a conversation that I had a couple of times. Maybe you had a similar one, or maybe you even said this. I've heard people say, well, the coronavirus, it's okay. If I were to get it, I would recover. I'm young and I'm healthy. The only people that this coronavirus is affecting are elderly people and people who are already sick. And then, like once or twice this week, I had someone tell me bluntly, the people that are dying, well, they were old, they were sick, and they were going to die anyway. I mean, where's the compassion there? Where's the love there? Every single person who has died from this virus, and yes, there are people here in the United States and many people around the world who have died as a result of the coronavirus. Every single person who has died up until this point is someone's parent, someone's sister, someone's brother, someone's spouse, someone's friend. Where's the compassion for those that are suffering? Where's the compassion for those whose lives are being deeply impacted by that which is going on around us? And then what about the limitations that are being placed on nursing homes? It started here in Westchester, but now I believe it's spread around the entire United States. Nursing homes are limiting visitation, which means for people who have a daily rhythm or a regular rhythm of going to visit loved ones in the nursing home, they're now being told, you can't come and visit. The only people who are allowed to visit now are medical people for health reasons or end-of-life visitations. So think about everyone who's confined to a nursing home, and they're now hearing, and rightly so because it's done for their protection, but they're hearing your family, your friends, people from your church, from your community, they cannot come and visit you right now. So for a group of people who are already pretty isolated, this is causing even more isolation. Or what about family members who they don't know how many more visits they'll have with their loved ones in a nursing home? And they're being told indefinitely, you have to put your visitations on hold. Yeah, this is really affecting a lot of us in deep ways. This is impacting our family connections. It's affecting our shared life. And so seeing beyond ourselves at this moment, that's the invitation. People to have greater compassion for those around us. So what this means is it means doing everything you can to care for yourself. in order to protect those around you. It means doing everything within your power in order to protect those who are more vulnerable. There's a lot of people right now who are a bit more on edge because they're part of that vulnerable group. So how do we have compassion for that group and for what everyone is going through? It means taking this virus seriously and doing what you can to care for your neighbors. Now, maybe you've noticed this, but there seems to be a whole lot more anxiety thrown into this system. Maybe you walk into a store. I went to the grocery store on Friday morning, and as soon as I walked in, I could feel my body begin to tense up. There's everyone right in the front of the store with their Lysol wipes, scrubbing down those shopping carts. As soon as people walk through the doors, they're putting their gloves on, they're putting their masks on. Yeah, there's this heightened sense of anxiety that we're feeling everywhere we go. And let's just start by saying that's normal. That's normal. If you're feeling a bit more anxious right now, yeah, you're not alone. You're not the only one. The coronavirus seems to be a hot topic of conversation. Every single day that I went to go pick Reese up from school, and he only had school 2 days this week, Monday and Wednesday, what were all the parents talking about as we were waiting for our children to come through the door? When's school gonna be canceled? Are they going to keep having the school open? Well, my cousin who lives over here, well, they closed their schools. You think they're gonna close the schools here? And then some of the parents were saying that they had visitations for their child at the doctor, and these are just well appointments. And the doctors have called up saying that they were canceling those appointments. Yeah, this is a hot topic of conversation. Everyone is talking about it. It's on all of our minds. I go to the grocery store and I go see one of the employees that I have gotten to know throughout the years. What do we start talking about? The coronavirus. How many emails have you received this past week from different organizations, different doctors' offices that you visit? And they're all telling you about the coronavirus. They're telling you about how they're, or what they're doing to protect themselves, what you can do to protect yourself. They're telling you how seriously you should take this. Yeah, we're being bombarded from every single angle, telling us, putting right in front of our faces, here's the thing that's happening around us. Think about the news headlines. How many breaking news stories have you heard this week? And here's the thing, if you still haven't shut off your buzz notifications, please do so right now because your phone must have been buzzing incessantly this week. No matter what we do, it's really, really difficult to escape the coronavirus at this time. And so there's all this extra anxiety that's thrown into the system. When I was at the grocery store, I was walking down one aisle and I got to the end and was about to make the turn and I felt a sneeze coming on. And maybe you've done this too. You've been out in a public place and you feel the urge to cough or to sneeze and you start thinking, oh my goodness, if I were to cough or to sneeze, everyone's eyes would quickly be drawn to me and then people would move as fast as they can away from me. So you're nervous to sneeze or cough in public. Now, luckily, I was able to stifle that sneeze. But then the other day, I was in my office, and I had the door closed, and there was a meeting that was taking place outside of my office, and I heard someone cough. And this was one of those real chesty coughs. It wasn't just a very shallow cough. This was a deep cough. And immediately, I thought, all right, well, I'm going to make sure that I don't exit that way when I leave my office, and I'm going to walk around the other way. Yeah, there's all this anxiety that's just floating in the air around us. And the question is, how do we respond to it? How do we respond in a peaceful way? What are things that we can do in order to bring that anxiety level down bit by bit? So maybe instead of at a 7, you can bring it down to at least a 3 or maybe a 4. You can bring it down just a few notches. So here's a few ways that we can respond to what's happening around us. And first, I want to start by saying, what not to do. Earlier this week, I saw on social media, someone had a post likening the coronavirus to the apocalypse. There was an apocalyptic passage from the book of Matthew, and then there was a picture of people fleeing and leaving Manhattan. All right, posts about this being the apocalypse are not helpful for any of us at this time. So please, if that was you, take down that post immediately. You're spreading fear. I don't understand how the Christian message is one of peace. And at this time, we're all learning, well, what does it mean to have peace? But then we're claiming to be part of the Christian faith and to have this peace in Jesus, but yet then we're just throwing more fear and anxiety into the system. Instead of promoting peace, we're actually promoting fear. That is not helpful for us at this time. So on the flip side, on the positive side, what can we actually do? Well, the first I would say, compassion. Compassion. This is an opportunity to promote compassion. So can you be extra graceful at this time? Can you be more compassionate? We're all dealing with this in different ways. This is disrupting all of our lives in different ways. We're having to alter how we normally live. We're having to alter our schedules. So again, everyone's a bit more on edge. So can we learn to be people who are even more filled with compassion and grace during this time? Can we walk into situations knowing, all right, things are gonna be a bit more tense, so how can we diffuse the tenseness and bring more peace and more compassion into the system? Maybe you've been praying over the past weeks, for months, for years, for more patience, or for more grace, for more compassion. Now is an opportunity to put that into practice. So let's go into these situations being mindful. All right, we're all a bit tense right now. So how do we actually bring more compassion into the situations we find ourselves in? So the first step is have extra grace, have extra compassion for everyone this week. And these, not just this week, but the next couple of weeks. And then second, here's a question for us. What are the opportunities that this disruption is providing us? See, there's two ways that we can respond to what's going on. First, we can say, my life has been so disrupted, and I get it. For some people, it's really difficult right now. Daycares are shutting down, schools are closing, and you've relied on those systems in order to have childcare so that you can go to work. Maybe you don't have the luxury of working from home with your kids. Or maybe you do, but having your kids there with you is pretty stressful. So I understand, there's a lot of that going on right now. But one of the first way that we can respond to what's happening is we can get really, really angry. And I've heard people have this response, and they get really upset at the powers that be for disrupting my life. The problem with this response is it's just going to make us more bitter. It's just going to make us more angry. You're going to continue spiraling downward. But see, the other response we can have to the disruption is we can look at it as an opportunity. What are the different opportunities being provided for us right now? Yesterday, I went outside, and as soon as I walked in the backyard, I saw my neighbor out there kicking the soccer ball around with his middle school son. Now, I very rarely, if ever, see my neighbor outside. So I waved to him, and we both walked to the edge of our property, and we started a conversation. And yes, we were more than 6 feet away. There was a forsythia bush that was in between us. So we made sure not to spread our germs onto each other's property. We were social distancing. We had this beautiful 10-minute conversation about life, about how we're dealing with everything that's going on. This was the longest conversation that I've ever had with that neighbor. And we've lived here now for over 4 years. And at the end of our conversation, he says, well, I'm sure I'll be seeing you around a lot more, because his job told him stay home for 3 weeks. And his son, one of the things we were talking about is for his son and for Reese as well, the schools where we live, they're closed for the next month. On Friday night, we got an email saying school will not resume until April 13th. So I know my neighbor was excited that he would get more time with his family. For me, I'm excited. I get more time with Reese as well, time that I normally wouldn't get at home with my family. So what are the different opportunities that are being provided for you? Maybe there's that book that's been on your shelf for weeks or for months, and you keep telling yourself, eventually I'm going to get to that book. Hey, here's an opportunity to pick that book up. Or what about your college roommate? And you've sent texts back and forth for weeks, for months, maybe even years, and you've always said, hey, we should really catch up. But you never find the time to catch up. You're probably gonna have a bit more time now. Or about cooking that meal that you've always thought about cooking. I hear from many of you, you tell me, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I just don't have time to pray. Yeah, you're probably gonna have a few extra minutes in your life during this time. See, for the majority of people, and here's a headline that I saw, here's what to binge when you're stuck at home, when you're bunkering down at home. For the majority of people, we're going to go directly to our screens. But I would argue that the thing we need to do is actually get away from our screens and to unplug. I was talking with Steph yesterday about this and the disruption that's being caused right now. And she was saying how for so many people, well, we just really don't know how to slow down. We're good Americans. We just work, 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 and we go, go, go. And so when we're finally being forced to slow down, we don't know what to do with ourselves. We don't know how to respond because we've never slowed down in our lives. We're so used to going and so used to doing, we don't know how to simply be. This is an invitation to simply be, to slow down, to reconnect with your soul, to reconnect with yourself, to reconnect with your family, with friends, neighbors, to reconnect with God. We're being offered a beautiful time right now to take the speed in which we've been going and to bring it down a few notches and to slow it all down and to unplug. So when I'm done with this sermon, what I'll do, because things have been a bit crazy here at the Stradling household for the past couple of days, I am going to upload this video and then I'm going to shut down my computer and I am not going to open my computer again for the rest of the day, and we'll see what tomorrow brings. Yeah, I'm gonna unplug, which means no news headlines, no emails. Definitely do not check your stock portfolio because that's not gonna bring any peace right now. This is an opportunity to get away from all of it and do whatever it is that fills your soul so that you can be refilled with life. Maybe you've been going, 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 and you've been pouring yourself out. This is an opportunity to be poured back into. Now, one of the responses that I might get, or that someone might give me when I say something like that is, I can't. There's just no way. Things are happening right now. Decisions are having to be made at lightning fast speed. There's no way that I can actually slow down. So the experience that others are having slowing down, well, I actually feel like my life is getting a bit faster. I called up Stephen, the owner of Life, the building that we normally meet in, this past week. And when I got on the phone with him, I asked him how he was doing, and he responded like he always responds, living the dream. Then he pauses and he says, or actually living the nightmare. Yeah, that's his life right now. Think about his job. The success of his business depends on people coming through his doors. Well, people aren't coming through his doors right now. And then there's been this ban that's put on groups of 500 people or more here in New York. Well, he has groups sometimes that exceed 500 people. And then if your group is less than 500 people, well, you have to decrease your capacity by 50%. So for all the parties that he has, if people aren't canceling, he has to make sure that his capacity is decreased by 50%, and he has to be sure that his staff is up on disinfecting the entire building. So he's in damage control right now. He's moving, he's making decisions. He's having to do things at lightning fast speed. He would say, there's no way I'm slowing down right now. So here's my challenge for you, if you find yourself in that position. Can you take 5 minutes just to breathe? Can you take simply 5 minutes just to get away from it all? One of the things that's true about all of us, whenever we're more anxious, whenever we're going, our breathing gets a bit more shallow. And when we are breathing in a shallow manner, what that is activating within us is our sympathetic nervous system. This is our fight or flight response, as it prepares our body to either fight or to run and flee because the lion is chasing us in the woods. So this shallow breathing, what it's doing is it's actually producing all sorts of inflammation and bad things in our body. And the way to move outside of that particular response is to activate our parasympathetic nervous system through deep breathing. What this activates a different part of our nervous system that actually restores our body, that gives us a level of calmness and composure so that we can respond to things in a centered and grounded way. So if that's you and you're moving faster and faster, can you pause for a few minutes and deeply breathe so that you can make level-headed decisions? And maybe this type of breathing is for you also if you're feeling a bit more anxious, or before you go into a grocery store, before you go back into your home in the evening, can you take a few deep breaths just to compose yourself? And then one final response, I think, for us is the response of checking in with your neighbors. We all know people who are isolating themselves at home right now. I have a good friend, and he has self-quarantined himself for the past 2 weeks. So I've been on the phone with him every single day, checking in, seeing how he's doing. We all know people that are home in their houses by themselves. We were out for a walk the other day, and we saw a neighbor, asked how he was doing from the other side of the street, and he tells us that he has voluntarily been quarantining himself at home because he was in a doctor's office 2 weeks ago where there was a coronavirus case. And so he said that he's been staying at home just in case he had gotten the coronavirus. Yeah, we all know people like this. So let's check in with our neighbors. Let's check in with our more vulnerable friends and family. Do they have the food that they need? Is there any medicine that they need to have picked up for themselves? Or what about just checking in with people just for the sake of checking in? You're so used to this rhythm of going to church, for many of you, every Sunday, and seeing the same people again and again and asking how they're doing and praying for them. Well, you can pick up the phone this week. You can call them. You can ask how they're doing. You can pray for them. You can Skype. You can FaceTime. That's the beauty of this age, this modern age that we live in. Technology allows us to still be able to be in touch and to see each other. So instead of isolating, completely isolating ourselves, well, let's actually engage with each other in safe and healthy ways. You can go for a hike. You can get outside. You can pick up the phone, whatever that means for you during this season. And obviously, as things progress, as things move forward, we're going to be monitoring. We're going to see what we can do as a community. Maybe we'll be able to provide some different ways for us to stay in touch with each other through chat rooms or other different technologies that are available right now. We'll monitor the situation. We'll see what happens. And we will inform you how we as Awaken will be moving forward. But let's look at this time as an opportunity to reconnect with ourselves, with God, and with each other in deep, life-giving waves. So So let's not just go right to our screens. Let's move away from our screens during this time. Let me pray for us. God, we come to you right now. And for many of us, we are a bit on edge. God, we may be a bit anxious. We don't know where this is going. This is unknown territory. So I pray, God, that in the midst of all of this, that you would bring peace, that you would bring calmness. We trust that you are the God of peace. And so we pray that your spirit of peace would rest upon us. And God, we trust that you are the God of healing. And so we pray for healing for each of us, for our world. God, we pray healing over all those who have been affected, those who have become sick because of this virus. And God, I pray that as we are having our lives disrupted, God, I ask that you would open our eyes to the invitations that are before us, the opportunities. So rather than seeing this as something that we just have to get through, God, I pray that we would be able to just experience life during this time in different ways. God, may we be surprised at the different ways in which we can experience your presence and we can experience community with each other. And God, I pray that we would slow down. God, I pray that we would rest. God, that we would see this season as a time of refilling our souls. So may we, whenever this all ends, God, may we emerge stronger, more at rest, and more at peace. And God, through all of this, we are trusting you. So may we continue to place our trust in you in the midst of all this uncertainty. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my friends, may the grace and peace of Jesus be upon you.